Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City Council meeting, City of Arroyo Grande, for Tuesday, July 24th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Costello.
Here.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Here.
Councilmember Fellows.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Arnold.
Here.
Mayor Ferrara.
Here. Our next item is a flag salute. We're pleased this evening to have Leonard Mansell from the AG Lions Club, who is going to lead us in the flag salute. And if you would, please remain standing for our invocation. Pastor Robert Underwood is here from First United Methodist Church to do that for us this evening.
Please stand, face the flag, hand over heart, repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mayor, council members, citizens, shall we be in prayer? Look graciously, O God, upon our community. Where it is in arrogance, subdue it. Where it is in need, supply it. Where it is in error, rectify it. Where it is in default, restore it. Where it holds to that which is just and compassionate, support it. May our counsel be led by your wisdom, O God, and may they search your will and see it clearly. Give all of us your light and your truth, and guide us all. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Leonard, before you go,
yes.
Can we get a quick update on the Lions Club activities?
Sure. Currently, we're... Well, with summer, there's not a lot going on yet, but, you know, during the year, annually, we support the Harvest Festival. We're actually participants in that. We also provide manpower for the Department of Parks and Recreation, their volunteer appreciation banquet. We sponsor student speaker contests. We allow for the, we're supporting the annual turkey trot for children. We have four scholarships for Arroyo Grande High School and the annual eye examinations for the local grade school kids and the needy. With the, for our community of the all five cities area, we provide site screenings and exams and glasses for the needy pupils. And we have an annual basketball tournament for 7th and 8th grade girls and boys. And we are active in collecting and recycling eyeglasses. The International Lions Club Foundation is designed to make grants available for community projects worldwide. Currently, they've handed out 437 grants, totaling $92.6 million.
Great.
Okay?
Good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome.
And we appreciate all the Lions Club does for our community. So thank
you. It's our pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that will take us to item five, special presentations. We have none this evening. Do have an announcement to make, though. As some of you may recall, if you watched the council session on television a few meetings ago, we had an opportunity to recognize Bob Beam for his service to the city of Arroyo Grande and South County as a whole as a journalist for so many years. Bob Beam passed away yesterday, and So, with the council's permission, we're going to adjourn this evening's meeting in memory of Bob. That takes us to item six, which is agenda review. 6A, move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. That takes us to item seven, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the community to come forward and make comments, observations, or recommendations on any item that is not published on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking action on items that are not published or items that are not published on the agenda. We would ask that you please adhere to the three-minute rule. Please address the council as a whole. Anyone who would like to come forward, again, items not on this evening's agenda. Okay, seeing none, we will close community comments and suggestions. We will move to item 8, which is our consent agenda. If you're following along on our agenda, you'll note that this evening, consent items 8A through 8E are listed on the agenda. This is an opportunity, once again, for the public to come forward and comment on any of those items, 8A through 8E, if you so desire. Once again, we would ask you to adhere to the three-minute rule. Anyone who would like to come up on any of the consent items? Okay. Then we'll close community comment on the consent agenda. And this is normally a group of items that the council approves in one motion, unless there is a particular item on consent that a council member would like to pull for further clarification or an independent vote. What is the will of the council this evening? Any items to be pulled? Okay. If not, then I'll entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8E.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. I think there's something in there to read this evening, Tim? No?
Nothing, Mayor Farrar.
Then, if there's no further discussion, roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. That takes us to item 9, our public hearings. We have three this evening. And I see at least folks here from representing the issues from both 9A and 9B. We're anticipating that 9B shouldn't take too long. So with the patience of those of you who are here for 9A, we're going to go ahead and, if we can, take 9B first.
Mr. Mayor, may I address you?
Sure.
We're waiting for our consulting. We had to run back to our office anyway, so that would be perfect.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
So I love it when a plan comes together. So thank you, Ray. Well, she's here, but we're going to go ahead and take 9B anyway. Okay, 9B. Steve, is this you?
Mr. Strong, I think he's here.
Strong?
I would suggest we go ahead with 9A.
Okay. All right, then we will go back to 9A. This is consideration of an amended conditional use permit, case number 06-003.
He's walking in right now. The plan didn't come quite together the way
okay.
You were hoping.
Members of the council, I apologize. The item before you is a temporary use permit. It has been advertised as a public hearing. Notice has been sent to the neighbors surrounding the property outlined in yellow on the screen. It is at the corner of Old Ranch Road and West Branch Street,
owned by the city of Aurora Grande, a 5-acre vacant parcel. The bottom portion, about 3 acres, is level. It is occasionally used for temporary event parking. It's the future site of a recreation center. The upper portion of Old Ranch Road is sloping, separated from the flats by a small grove of eucalyptus trees. At the upper end of Old Ranch Road is the Royal Oak residential subdivision, which overlooks both this site and the vacant county regional government center properties to the west. The city was approved.
Rob, excuse me. While you're up there, could you hit that light switch in the back, please, so we can see what's on the screen? Thank you.
The city was approached previously by Tom Swim, representing Pacific Gas and Electric Company, seeking a 400-car temporary park-and-ride lot to be used during this upcoming winter and the following winter for about a 5-month period each year. The council tabled that matter, requested that the matter return at a reduced scale if PG&E was still interested and could accomplish alternative parking areas in other communities. PG&E has done so in coordination with the city of Pismo Beach, located two smaller park-and-ride lots, and reapproached the city of Aurora Grande for up to 250-car temporary parking. The previous proposal at 400 cars took almost the entire flat. This one would be confined to the western portion. As a result, there's an estimated reduced cost in a temporary all-weather surface. It would still accommodate shuttle bus stop, 250-car parking. And this is just a sketch of the anticipated improvement which would be required of the city of Aurora Grande prior to the December lease period starting. The green boundary to the Old Ranch Road and West Branch Street is a 20-foot or more yard area. That would accommodate all the existing trees along West Branch Street and the slope bank along Old Ranch Road. There would be an access driveway about the in the break between trees about 200 feet away from the Women's Center property boundary, and about 150 feet north of West Branch Street on Old Ranch Road, there would be an access driveway where it surfaces with the grade of the street. In the corner, there would be a small erosion control ponding basin. That basically is the request and proposal by PG&E. Again, this is a temporary use permit public hearing for the council to decide if a lease to PG&E is an acceptable consideration, and if so, whether the terms and conditions of the outlined in the staff report are appropriate. If you have questions, I'd be happy to respond.
Okay, thank you. We do have representatives from PG&E here. Gentlemen, would you like to say a few words?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. I'm Tom Swim. We initially came to you a month or so ago with our proposal, did certainly hear what your comments and concerns were, and went back to see if we could put together something that could be meeting your desires for how it would work with the city and certainly would work for PG&E. We think we've accomplished that. We've been able to find numerous spaces in two different lots in Pismo Beach that would take quite a bit of the load off of this particular lot. We're in a position that we're about to go into contract with both of those, and so we're before you tonight to hopefully get into a position we can go into contract with you on this particular lot. As noted in the proposal, What we're looking for is pretty well a prorated amount, and I believe Mr. Strong has had the opportunity to review it a little further as far as what the costs are going to be for construction for that particular lot, for the smaller size, if you will. What we've been able to do as well is, although the number of spaces were greatly reduced, we increased the monthly rent. So we've gone over and above in terms of the cash allocation towards the city as well. So we were hoping that you might see that as a very positive gesture as well. With that, I'd answer any questions that you might have, and I've also brought two other individuals from PG&E that can speak to either the operational side of what's going to be occurring at site and with the overall outage, as well as a gentleman, Mr. Tom Jones, who can speak more for the corporation if we need anything clarified on that. There were two things that Mr. Jones may be able to speak to as far as the conditions in the staff report that we feel we can deal with, but would have to be amended in terms of verbiage. So with that, I'll open to any questions you might have of me initially, at least.
Okay. Did Tom, the other Tom, did you want to make those clarifications now?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Tom Jones representing Pacific Gas and Electric Company this evening. Actually, it's one condition change to add a couple of words on item 7 on page 4 of your staff report. Item 7 asks for a standard insurance policy to protect the city and, you know, demonstrate that PG&E has insurance. We're a self-insured utility, as are most investor-owned utilities in California. So what I have for you is a certificate that shows, this is an example letter, that we're self-insured. Our insurance levels exceed what you're asking for here. So if we could just add the word or proof of self-insurance in Clause 7, and that's satisfactory to you, we can meet those conditions, or certainly the spirit of them.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Any other comments from your representatives?
Just that we have actually enjoyed a very nice working relationship with city staff. We're in full support of the staff recommendation with those minor technical changes to item number 7.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this is a public hearing. If there are members of the public who would like to come forward, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. Once again, 9B. Okay, seeing no one, we'll close the public comment portion of 9B, and we'll bring this to the council. Let's start with Councilmember Guthrie this evening.
Well, I will say I think this is a good compromise here. I do think it was probably unwise for the entire burden to fall on the farthest parking lot away from Diablo, and that working it out to move it to the two closer parking spaces that you have will help everybody, and particularly help us in this location, which is actually pretty tight already. So I'm in support of going forward with what's in front of us tonight.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Costello.
I also agree that what's before us tonight is something I can support. I think that it's a reasonable accommodation. I supported the prior lot. I thought there might be some problems that we'd have to deal with, but we're going to have a lot of additional cars on the road otherwise, so I think that it's a good compromise, and I think that the terms are reasonable. I don't have any problem accepting the self-insurance language in terms of provision number 7, and I can support this tonight.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Fellows.
I have three questions, I guess, for staff or maybe for the PG&E folks. First of all, it would be conditioned that the lot would have an all-weather dust-free base surface. What would that be composed of?
Conceptually, what we are anticipating is the existing grade, which has some of the fill material off of the old Reservoir 1 construction, would be removed, and it would be down to a rough grade for the future recreation center. When that occurs, we would basically come in with a base material similar to a road base and place it at an adequate depth to support light vehicles. There might have to be a heavier portion of the base on the alignment of the shuttle route for the heavier vehicle, but basically it would just be a road-based material.
How would that be kept dust-free?
It can be done with binders that are applied to the surface, so the estimate basically was a base material of several inches with a binder to prevent the dust. Again, this is a winter period parking lot, and the main concern is that it would be susceptible to wet weather, and it was more of a mud concern than a dust concern during that period.
Thank you. And then the benefits described, and of course, include the grading and so on for the eventual community rec center. But that means that we have, staff has maybe 4 months to approve the design and do all the work, the grading, the driveway apron, and so on, and before December 07, right?
Correct.
It's going to be kind of a crunch, isn't it?
The original estimate for a 400-car parking lot was obtained through a contractor, and I believe that this is the type of work that the Public Works Department would intend to put out an immediate proposal request for contract work.
Okay, thank you. I was up the street the other day getting a little exercise. I noticed that this public notice was on one of the cluster mailboxes. Pardon me. And since there are no members of the public here, I'm going to complain, I guess, or to oppose it. I'm going to support it. I had a reluctance earlier when it came before us before because of the traffic problems that it might entail for two problematic intersections. But since nobody else feels that way, nobody from the public, and there has been a quite a nice reduction in number of cars, I can support this.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I, too, can support this. I supported it before. I think the benefit to the community is there, and I also think the benefit to PG&E is also there. So I can definitely support it as proposed with the change for the insurance. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Check in with you, Tim. Is there an issue with a language modification, or are we okay with that?
No, we'll just be specific when you come to a motion. Make sure it's included in Condition 7.
Okay. I initially had some issues with this largely because of the number of cars that were involved, and I think the direction of the council at the time was, in fact, heeded by PG&E, and appreciate your cooperation and your efforts in finding those other locations. The important question for me was who was going to be served by this particular area, and as you well know, we already have an established park and ride lot, and we concur with the concept that we should be reducing vehicle trips. I have a bit of a different take on the air quality issue, but be that as it may, my main concern was who was going to be served by this particular lot. And what I did not want to see happen was Grover Beach and Pismo Beach actually driving south to get to our city so that they could go back north again on a bus, and I've been assured that that's now not going to happen. And then the other question that I had this morning when I met with Tom Jones was in terms of salaried PG&E employees living in Arroyo Grande who would take advantage of this particular facility, there were 304 who would be involved in this operation. So that's a substantial number of trips that would be saved over the course of this project. So based on that, I can now support this as well. And with that, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move we adopt a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande approving temporary use permit 07-012 for a temporary park and ride lot on a portion of the city property. The applicant is Pacific Gas and Electric Company, with the changing of Condition 7 to include language that the proof of self-insurance will be acceptable.
I second that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there discussion?
Let me just go ahead and read the exact language we'll include. After the word policy in the second line of Condition 7, we'll add, comma, or adequate proof of equivalent self-insurance, comma.
Is that language satisfactory?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. With that clarification, is there any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Arnold?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. All Okay.
Which is a part of Phase 2, was originally approved for a maximum building size of 36,000 square feet, and that would be all in one structure. This is the only building in the center that has not yet been constructed. A pre-application was processed for Pad I last year that consisted of two buildings totaling roughly 33,000 square feet, including Petco as an anchor. Although the council was generally in favor of the concept, issues of parking and existing traffic problems within the center were a large concern. After considering different traffic impact analyses, council determined that as a result of significant change conditions over the past 10-plus years since the project was approved, specific traffic mitigation measures were necessary, which I'll describe a little bit later. So last February, the Planning Commission considered a formal proposal for Pad I that included two options, and those are explained on the screen. Option A consisted of two buildings in Phase 2, including a 15,000-square-foot Petco and a 13,500-square-foot one-tenant building. Those are both in Phase 2. And then a 6,000-square-foot retail building within Phase 1, located adjacent to the existing Marshalls. Total square footage that was proposed was 34,500. Option B then consisted of two buildings in Phase 2, including a 15,000-square-foot Petco building and an 18,200-square-foot multi-tenant building. Total square footage proposed was 33,200, all within Phase 2 of the shopping center. Much of the parking was located to the rear of the buildings, which was a concern for Council and the Planning Commission. So the Planning Commission recommended approval of Option A, with special conditions, including submittal of a pedestrian plan for Phase 2, an acoustical study, various landscaping improvements, and restrictions to the hours of operation for both noise and light pollution. Regarding traffic impacts, the Planning Commission specifically recommended that development should be phased and that a building permit for the 13,500-square-foot co-anchor building north of Petco should not be issued until after Petco and Building J are occupied and parking and traffic mitigation measures were determined. A commercial building and a 13,500-square-foot single or multi-tenant commercial building in Phase 2 of the shopping center, and then a 5,500-square-foot single or multi-tenant commercial building in Phase 1 of the shopping center. And again, that would be right adjacent to in between Marshalls and where Fitness 19 is. Total square footage proposed then is 34,000 square feet, which is 2,000 square feet less than what the original Pad I approval was for. There are currently no identified tenants at this time, so Petco basically went away. Development code requirements have been met regarding parking, building height, lot coverage, and setbacks. A significant concern, however, is with adequate parking. Although the project would have a surplus of parking according to what the development code requires, it is apparent that the combination of Trader Joe's, especially Trader Joe's, Cold Stone Creamery, and Baja Fresh within Phase 2 already create parking deficiencies that sometimes overflow into A.G. Edwards. The opening of Chili's will add to the parking demand, of course, as well as eventual full occupancy of Building J. And then, as you probably know, Building J has never been fully occupied since its construction in 1998. Because parking is considered an issue within Phase 2, staff has included a special condition number 7, which reads as follows. Development shall be phased, subject to compliance with all conditions of approval and mitigation measures. Building I-1 and I-3 may be constructed and occupied. Prior to issuance of a building permit for I-2, and after Building I-1 is fully constructed and both Building J and Building I-1 are fully occupied, the allowable uses for Building I-2 shall be determined by the City Council. The determination of allowable uses would be based on the adequacy of parking and traffic mitigation measures as recommended by the Director of Public Works. Adequate parking shall be determined based on a parking analysis analysis measured on a typical Saturday between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and then 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. The adequacy of the traffic mitigation measures shall be determined by using one of the following methods as determined by the Director of Public Works. So A, the level of service at the Phase 1, Phase 2 entry driveways is improved over existing conditions as adjusted for project traffic. And then B, performance standard be modified and state the following. Subject to compliance with all conditions of approval and mitigation measures, all three proposed new buildings, I-1, I-2, and I-3, may be constructed and occupied. Buildings I-1 and I-3 shall be used for retail, commercial, and building I-2 is restricted to office use only. That's a mouthful saying all these conditions, but got to do it. The other main concern is existing traffic within the surrounding five city center area. One of the traffic studies conducted for Pad I identified several intersections that are currently operating below an acceptable level of service. Any new development will obviously just further exacerbate that situation. So, as approved by the City Council in April of last year, several traffic improvements are proposed, which include the following. Providing an additional access driveway on Camino Mercado in Phase 1. Adding a right turn lane in the Phase 1 driveway at Rancho Parkway. Modifying Rancho Parkway by narrowing the street, adding traffic calming devices, and directing traffic. Modifying pavement marking and add signage at the intersection of Rancho Parkway and West Branch Street. And then adjusting signal timing for both signals on West Branch Street. All of these conditions are in the resolution. Regarding signage, the applicant proposes to install two ground signs, including a 48-square-foot monument sign for Phase 2 at the intersection of West Branch Street and Rancho Parkway, and then add an 18-square-foot monument sign at the upper driveway to Phase 2. Wall signs for individual future tenants will be subject to the original planned sign program approved for the Five Cities Center. So in summary, staff has reviewed this project in compliance with the California Environmental Quality Act and has determined that the project will not have a significant effect on the environment with the implementation of the mitigation measures contained in the negative declaration. And the Planning Commission recommends that Council adopt a resolution approving the amended CUP and planned sign program subject to the conditions of approval. As alternatives, as we always have alternatives, Council might consider adopting the resolution approving the amended CUP and planned sign program with alternative special condition number 7 as previously mentioned.
Existing, there's an existing sign like that with those two light globes someplace?
I know that everything but that is definitely existing. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, then...
That the applicant is nodding her head yes.
I'm sorry, what?
The applicant is nodding her head yes, that yes, they do exist out there.
Okay, thank you. And then I don't see plans for a new directional sign at Camino Mercado and Rancho Parkway indicating the new entrance exit. Did I miss that?
No, you did not.
There isn't.
We can add that.
And also regarding mitigation measure 6.1, when do we see... When in the process comes the stormwater pollution prevention plan?
That would be in the mitigation.
Right, it is mitigation 6.1. When do we get that? When do we see that? Or does staff just see it?
Let me get to that mitigation and see if I can. It's prior to issuance of grading permit.
That's all. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Steve, I left a message today, and I was wondering if you had a chance to talk with Public Works and have them go out there and look at the potential for a right-hand turn lane off of West Branch Street onto Rancho Parkway.
Yes, I did. Mike Lynn, if you do.
I Mike Lynn, Public Works. I did look at it today, and I assume you're going westbound on West Branch, taking a right turn onto Rancho Parkway.
Correct.
And what I saw from the back of the sidewalk, it appeared that that's where all the signal equipment is at, which would have to be moved or accounted for in some way. And usually when you move that equipment, it usually entails having to pull all new conductors for the intersection. That's one thing. And then from the back of the sidewalk up to the building, which will be the new Chili's, it's an approximate 45-degree angle. So it looks like you'd have to cut that back maybe about 10 feet, the slope, which would then necessitate a retaining wall of some sort. So it's something that can always be done, but at considerable cost.
So there is not space to restripe the road as it is right now to get an extra lane in there?
Not from what I saw, no.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. My name is Carol Florence. I'm a principal planner with Oasis Associates located in San Luis Obispo, and I'm here representing the project applicant. With me this evening are my clients, Kenneth Slott and Dave Pintard, our legal counsel, Ray Baring, our project architect, Joel Jennings, and our traffic consultant, Steve Oros. This evening, I'm going to respectfully request that Council adopt the resolution amending CUP and sign program 06-003, subject to 82 conditions of approval and 53 mitigation measures with a few minor revisions. Hopefully, staff has passed out, and I do mean minor revisions to that, but I'd like to address those toward the end of my presentation if I could. As a quick aside, you'll note that the staff describes the funding mechanism for the project, and I'll just quote, the city will gain sales tax revenue with the proposed retail uses, unquote, and we can't agree more. I recently had an opportunity to review the sales tax generation from the center, and I'm pleased to communicate that the 2006 revenue was up 4.1% to an all-time high of $806,000. With the addition of Chili's and finally filling out the balance of the center, we anticipate tax revenues to the city of over $1 million. As you know, I've been involved with the center since 2005, and if I could just take a brief moment to thank city staff, planning commission and council members, members of your advisory bodies, and certainly the project proponent for everyone's patience, perseverance, and ability to truly collaborate and work toward a consensus. I also want to acknowledge and thank the public for their participation in two neighborhood meetings and also their attendance at numerous public hearings. So this evening, I am proud to present our proposal for Pad I. You've seen this slide, and this just gives you an overall site plan of the center, issues at the center. There is one addition to the traffic improvements, and I should tell you that at this juncture, we have a permit for the public improvements, and those are the improvements along Rancho Parkway, as well as the designated right turn out of Phase 1 and down Rancho Parkway. Those public improvements also include the access off of Camino Mercado, which is improvement A. We will be permitting with hopefully the building in Phase 1, improvement B, which changes some of the parking and the access in front of the Hollywood Video and Fitness 19 area. And we believe that to be certainly a superior situation to what currently exists today. But those particular plans, because they're on site, were not part of the public improvement plans. Part of, I think, the overall traffic mitigation is to assist people with understanding actually what is in phase two or what will be in phase two at this juncture. And we are asking for an additional monument sign to be placed, if you can see in the site plan there, at the corner of West Branch and Rancho Parkway, clearly denoting what tenants will be in phase two. And this is in conjunction with our second sign, monument sign, that will be located at the upper part of the horseshoe, if you will, and that's a much smaller sign. This is the proposal that you have before you this evening. Again, two buildings in phase two, 13,500 square feet and a 15,000 square foot building, and then the addition of a 5,000 square foot building in phase one. And I appreciate the fact that council members visited the site because we marked the corners of all the buildings so it was easier to determine their exact location on both phase one and phase two. This is really just a comparison. Council really never analyzed the Planning Commission submittal of February of this year. We left that meeting and our neighborhood meeting with clear direction. Help us understand the acoustical aspects of it. The neighbors were very concerned about that, as well as looking at additional pedestrian access. There is a loading dock on the building, but it is situated next to Rancho Parkway. So we've tried to consolidate all of the activities, including moving the solid waste facilities to the far end of the building as far away as we could from the residential portion. Basically, this is just a table of those changes. Again, we're down to 34,000 square feet, and it goes through the parking, required parking and proposed parking, and then asking for some additional non-retail uses. This pedestrian enhancement plan depicts in blue the existing pedestrian access, and what you see in yellow are the proposed access points. There were comments made during the Planning Commission and the neighborhood meeting that they would like to see a more defined pedestrian circulation. So we will be providing that not only with the new development, but other access points within phase two. So it will be clearly delineated where pedestrians will go. You've seen this slide. I think this is just a good bird's eye view of how the buildings will look. And I suppose you'd only get this if you were in a small plane, but nonetheless, I think this is a good way to see the relationship of the buildings. I think our next is just a little video for you. Again, here you can basically see the empty lot where Pad I is, superimposed with the three buildings now. We had a little music the last time we did this at the neighborhood meeting, but it was a little disruptive. It was hard to tell if someone was talking or exactly what. What's nice about that building, there's some elevation difference in the building. This is the truck dock. You can see there was an overhead structure there to screen that with additional landscaping. There it is again on the left, and you're looking right down the dock. It also screened by a masonry wall. And this is the building in phase one. This is a photo simulation of that superimposed on a photograph of the existing structures. Certainly the architecture is in keeping with the center, but I think we've added some additional articulation, awnings, window treatment, et cetera, that takes it a little notch above what's existing at the center now. Elevations. Yeah. And these are just the elevations again of this is building I-1, north and south elevations. Building I-2. This is the photo simulation in a still of the new building in phase one. And that concludes that particular presentation. If I could just take a moment to review with you the few minor revisions to the staff report and actually the conditions of approval. And I hope that those were good handed out to you. We were just hoping for a clarification because what we're asking council to do this evening really with the acceptance of Special Condition 7 is to balance, if you will, hoping to get clarification for some of the quote-unquote non-retail uses, and we were just citing your development code and asking for general retail and office uses in addition to these other items. If I could just quickly go down the list. Condition 12, we're just asking for clarification that this condition applies solely to the proposed development and not existing tenants. I think there was an error that regarding trees in phase one. The condition reads add trees every 4 to 5 spaces, but I believe it should read phase two, and staff is nodding their head up and down. So I think that was just a typographical error. We're asking that condition 19 on page 6 be deleted. I think there was somewhat of a confusion. I apologize for that because the project that the Planning Commission saw and then conditions to that is not the project that you see before you this evening, because the parking lot in this case has been reconfigured. There are planter islands and very minimal use of planter diamonds. I'm going to skip over that condition 24, and I apologize because I noted that twice. Condition 23, we looked at very carefully, and again, we're asking for deletion of that. Any pedestrian access off of Via Vaquero to the project site would require compliance with the American with the Disabilities Act. And I actually, if we could have a sketch that maybe we could put on Elmo here. I think you have to maybe click out of the PowerPoint. I don't have a pointer, but if you look up at the top, there's Via Vaquero. So you're starting at the changed configuration of these buildings, we're having people walk into the rear, which I don't think is appropriate. And that's why we're adding better and improved circulation through phase two. So we're asking for deletion of this particular condition. I think it's one thing to say that you'd like access there, but I think it's another thing when you actually determine and define specifically what that means. Condition 24, we're just asking again for some clarification to the uses in the last two items, because there is an existing drainage system in phase two currently. We may be adding new drain inlets, and we just wanted some clarification, or actually a revision to that, to require fossil filters to be added to the new drainage inlets only, since the system exists. And then I think just a reconciliation between condition 54 and mitigation measure 8.1 has to do with construction hours of operation. I would think it's 7 to 5, but the two are in conflict, so maybe we could just get staff to clarify that for us. With that said, I would just like to, again, thank you very much for your consideration this evening. Look for your positive response to the project. Ask that you review our minor revisions to the conditions. But all said, I think that we have worked very well together to come to this point. And just look for your positive response and approval this evening. And I'm certainly here, as the rest of the team are, to address any of your questions or comments.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have anything you'd like to add, or are you it, Carol?
I am it.
Okay. Before you get away from the podium, I do have one quick question.
Sure.
So does Jim. He has two.
Me too.
Me first, and then you guys can go. I always let you guys go first. But since the issue was just mentioned, on condition number 23, on your special condition sheet.
Mm-hmm. The ADA requirements for slope. It's just that we have a lot of elevation difference between Via Vaquero and finally landing down at the elevation of phase two.
Okay. So what you're saying is, to maintain the acceptable slope, there would be a few more twists and turns.
Mm-hmm. Quite a few more twists and turns.
Okay. Okay. Did you have questions for Carol? Okay, go ahead.
And my next one relates to that ADA question as well. What's the current ADA access to phase two? In other words, if somebody were walking down Via Vaquero, what's the ADA access that you're providing right now or planning to provide? Is there none?
No.
So at this point, even if it were built, there's no ADA access to this shopping center.
Well, the sidewalk itself, I mean, there's many sidewalks throughout everyone's jurisdiction at this point that are not accessible.
So when phase two was originally constructed, it was constructed without ADA access?
There's actually ADA access on site, but if you're talking about coming from the public right of way into it, no.
Okay, and there never was?
No.
Do you have another question, Jim?
Yeah, and this relates, and I probably should have asked this of staff so that you guys could answer, but this is, I wonder if someone can look up the difference from the Sandag study between office and retail as far as the trip generation goes, and also then retail and the banking facilities. I usually do these in advance, but I forgot this until we got here today, so that we can do the comparison there for these different uses. Thank you.
Okay.
If you can do it off the top of your head, great. All right.
I think we can address that if we have 2 seconds worth. If there's any other comments, maybe we can hear those and then address everything.
Sure. Yeah. Anyone have any other questions, either of Carol or staff on the report?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
Carol, back to the potential access from Via Vaquero. The ADA requires that if there is access there, it must be ramped, even though someone can drive around and get out of their van and get into their chair elsewhere in the, within the center?
That is not only my office's interpretation of ADA, and we do quite a bit of work.
In another phase, other than the one you're just about to build, what were your comments then about that?
Well, we actually, from an operational standpoint in phase two, have retained an electrical engineer to look at all of the lighting in phase two. What we're proposing in, I'll say, the rear of it closest to the neighborhood, all of those light standards will be 12 feet high as opposed to the light standards that you currently see. And we're also working to determine if there is an opportunity to turn off a portion of the lights in phase two without creating a security problem. So we're seeing if we can actually do that.
Were there comments from the neighbors regarding the Trader Joe's lights, the signs being on all night, and did you have a reply for that at that time?
We did not at the time, but it's our understanding that their agreement with the center allows them to have their sign on. I also think that with the addition of the new buildings, that signage may in fact be screened.
It may be.
Yes.
Okay. Condition number 13. Oh, I'm sorry, I guess that was a typo, so
yes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Now, I don't quite understand condition 19, what your reply was to that. How would you change that and why, or how has it been changed? Condition 19 regarding diamonds versus islands?
Again, this is a direct reflection because the Planning Commission looked at a completely different parking lot configuration, and there were additional diamond planters, and now we have many more island planters. So I believe that we have complied with this. I was just bringing it to Council's attention that we have addressed that.
So your statement now is that you're actually doing more than was requested
yes.
by the council, by
yes.
the commission.
And probably it's just more of a clarification for you all.
All right, that's all for now. Thanks.
Thank you.
I do have one quick question. Actually, two questions, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
The existing monument sign that's in phase two right now at the lower end of the horseshoe, with what you're proposing, moving the
just between phase one and two, we're preventing left turns into phase one. So in the hopes, of course, that when someone tries that once, they realize they can't, they'll be prohibited from doing that, that they will either go to the new access point on Camino Mercado or go to the Branch Street access. So we're hoping that by signing, because there is no signage now for phase two lower down, that once people see what's there, they know that they're going to be going to phase two. And if those are not the tenants that they want to go visit, they're going to go to phase one.
Can we put the site plan up for a second, Kelly? Okay, if I understand what you're saying, you would have a new monument sign here.
Yes.
You would maintain an existing monument sign here.
I think it's on the opposite side of the street, yes.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to stick another one up here.
Yes. The upper one is quite small in stature, and the lower monument sign is a little bit larger.
Okay. And then on the video that was shown, were there, well, you have that up, were there elevations shot from this location looking this way?
We have four-sided elevation. So, Joel, if you could go back to I-2 and the north elevation of that building.
What I'm asking is that do you have something here that would position a viewer standing on Rancho Parkway looking down over the center? Do you have a shot of what that would look like? Over phase one. I'm talking about building I-3.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That one?
Yes.
So if you're standing up here looking this way, do we have a shot of the view shed?
No, we don't. But essentially, if you were on Rancho Parkway looking down at the existing buildings.
This is Rancho Parkway here?
Yes.
And you're looking this way.
These buildings would be no taller than the existing buildings on site.
Okay, and then the same on Via Vaquero, looking at I-2 from up above. Okay. Okay, those were my only questions.
Thank you. Council, could I have our traffic consultant, Steve Oros, just address Council Member
sure.
Guthrie's?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. My name is Steve Oros with Oros Engineering Group. I don't have the numbers memorized, but I know the general parameters of where they're at. The office trip generation is in the 10 to 15 trips per day range. And as far as financial or general retail, it's in the 40 to 50 trip per day range per 1,000 square feet.
Okay, what I'm remembering and what I was really looking for was when we looked at this the last time, a year and a half ago, however long ago it was, the financial institution was a higher trip generation than general retail.
It could be a little bit higher, but I don't have that exact number. I know it's the general office range is in the 10 to 15 trip range. General retail is in that 40 to 50, maybe even 60 trip range, and the banking is on the upper end of that range.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Does that conclude your presentation, Carol?
It does, Mayor. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Okay. This, once again, is a public hearing, and we would invite members of the public to come up and comment on 9A if you so choose. And once again, please be mindful of the three-minute rule. Anyone who would like to come forward? Please come up.
Good evening. My name is Jean Wade, and I live over.
Okay. Were there any more questions? We'll get to them, Jean, at some point. Any other questions or comments?
No, that's about it right now. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Anyone else who would like to come forward, please come up to the podium and state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Thomas Klein. And I live just adjacent to the new buildings that are proposed. My only concern is if there is a pedestrian walkway going down from that location, it more or less is in lighting, which would flood into my house. And then another concern is if it is ADA accessible, I'm wondering how these wheelchairs are going to get to that location, because almost everyone who lives in that area knows that there are steep hills coming down. And my concern is they would not be taking their wheelchair up those hills to get to their homes. And also, when they do use the ramp, they would tend to want to cross Via Vaquero, which is an unmarked intersection, and could create hazards that way also. And actually beyond that, you know, it's just a normal teenagers with skateboards. They're gonna use it. So that's basically my real concern is the lighting and so forth.
Okay, Tom, is your home is right next to the service road there?
That is
it
correct.
Goes down to St. Pat's.
Yes.
Okay. I thought so. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Good. Anyone else? Going once, going twice? Okay. We'll close the public hearing portion of 9A. Before we get started, Carol, could you comment on the story poll that you had out there and tell us what that's about?
Actually, I think our project architect, Joel, is going to go over that. Joel, if you want to come up here, and you can point out exactly the difference in elevations.
Do you have the pointer?
My name is Joel from the street elevation. And then where... the parapet pops up over here. This is actually designed to screen any view of rooftop equipment that may be seen from Via Vaquero as you're coming down the hill.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Gene? What was the height there?
It was 34 feet, and I believe it's consistent with the highest elevation of Trader Joe's.
Okay, so could have been the positioning of it, the terrain of the, or the slope of the site. Okay, any other questions? All right, with the permission of council, well, actually, with or without the permission of council, I'm going to go first, only because I'm probably the one person up here that has the longest history with this center. I think Carol mentioned the fact that we've been wrestling with this for about 10 years. Previous council made a decision that we've been living with ever since. And I think the real rub for us over the years has been the fact that that particular location was originally zoned for a community shopping center, not a regional shopping center. Be that as it may, it's there. And as I think we all know and recognize, we have benefited from the sales tax revenue, but we've also been burdened by traffic and circulation in and around that center. Because of that, as Investec knows, there have been some issues with the full build-out or development of the center. I think the situation continues to be exacerbated in phase one, at least, because we have square footage that would fit in nicely, that would add to the shopping center, but it's controlled by Walmart, and they will not give it up. Historically, I think looking over this project, we've gone through three or four different developers, a few owners, and now the current applicant, Investec, and we've had an opportunity to meet with parking aisles. We could take a look at a rough positioning of the buildings and get a sense of what that site plan indicates for real, actually out there walking the site. So there were good things about that experience, at least for me, and there are a few things that raised issues. I'm generally okay with what is being proposed here this evening, with one exception, and that's building I-2. I can support the proposed design for I-1. I can support the proposed design for I-3. And, of course, that's conditioned on the traffic mitigation that that is being presented tonight, both the internal mitigation as well as the external and right-of-way mitigation. But what's hanging me up right now, and I think it's largely because of the fact that being out there on the site and now seeing the site plan that's being proposed for building I-3, the thing that's giving me pause is that loading dock location. And I need to kind of go back to something in the staff report right now, and that's your acoustical report. And with all due respect for whoever it was that that prepared that report, it's one thing to put a gauge on sound and stand in a particular location. It's quite another in the evening when traffic dies down for those folks who actually live up there to experience the noise level that comes up from that center. And I say that with some experience because I used to live there. And there were times when you could actually hear normal conversation. You could hear car door slam. You could hear vehicles driving around the parking aisles. So the acoustical presentation that's part of the staff report, I tend not to agree with it. The loading dock configuration that's part of I-2 is about 30 paces away from the closest home. In my view, that's too close. So if we go to the resolution, which I'm going to do, for approval, and you look at finding number one, it says complies with all applicable provisions of the development code, goals and objectives of the Arroyo Grande General Plan, development policy standards of the city. Well, if those are our standards, then I think we probably need to revisit it because I don't know of any other place, not even in that center, not even the loading operation behind Walmart, that's as close to a resident as that particular building is. The proposed use will not impair the integrity character of the district in which it is to be established or located because the proposed use is similar to surrounding uses. Well, it's similar on all but one side. And once again, it's that one building that is giving me pause right now. The site is suitable for the type and intensity of use or development that is proposed because all the necessary easement, circulation, parking setbacks would be provided. It's actually the setback issue that I have a problem with on I-2 specifically. Proposed use will not be detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare, so on and so forth. Deals with the environmental impacts. Once again, it's the noise impact, I believe, of building I-2. Now, that said, let's come back to the staff report and let's look at the alternative that we have. The alternative that we have is to pre-designate I-2 as office use. If that's done, if we can do that, and if we clarify office use, and I'm looking for the type of use that Mr. Oros was specifically referring to that generates 10 to 15 vehicle trips per 1,000 square feet. The big thing for me isn't so much the day-to-day operation, it's the evening operation and the weekend operation, because in the general retail area, it's that particular center on the weekends that causes so much traffic and parking issue. And that's generally, typically, downtime for an office building. So I think that it could be complemented in that way. One of the things that has always concerned me about that center and other areas of the city are kind of the three operative terms that I use, and that's size, scale, and intensity of use. If we deal with the loading dock, can you put up the site plan again, Kelly? No, actually, the There you go. Okay, if we can lose this loading dock operation here and we look at the usable space here, what I would like to see us do with I-2 is get a little bit creative about perhaps taking a different look instead of a block design. And I appreciate the effort that went into it, and I appreciate the different dimensions and the way you've cast the elevations. It looks very attractive. But I think if this is going to be office use and we were going to lose this loading dock, we might have an opportunity to configure this in such a way, without losing square footage, that would give you perhaps a softer look to that building. I'm also not certain that we need that kind of height if it is going to be an office building. Perhaps we can look at something a little more horizontal. I understand that we're looking for compatibility with a tower configuration so that it looks similar to the other buildings, but the use is different. So if we could look at perhaps a flatter elevation, a flatter design, and maybe a way in which you can look at perhaps a different floor layout here, that it might soften I-2 in such a way that it would be more appealing and as it transitions into the residence. If those changes are made, if we can get to that point, then I can go back in good conscience to the findings and feel good about them. And I think, I communicated some of my concerns to you, Ray, at least I know, with regard to the use of I-2. There's also talk about, do we have to occupy all of the buildings before we build I-2? I think if we're stuck with retail, which I sincerely hope we are not, another advantage, I think, to that pre-designation of office. But if we're going to wait to make a determination on the use and it's not designated ahead of time, then the only reasonable way that we can do that, responsible way we can do that, I believe, is to have that the remaining building J and I-1 fully occupied so that we can get a sense of traffic and parking issues, that together with Chili's. So, those are my concerns. If we can get to the point of office use, I don't mind trading sales tax revenue to make a better fit in phase two. I think one of the big arguments from day one with that entire shopping center was that it was going to make us a lot of money. And over the years, we've found that what we've had to put up with traffic issues in and around that center, in my mind, sometimes makes me wonder if it's worth it. So we have a chance now, I think, to finish this project off finally after 10 years, do it the right way, and if it means trading a little bit of sales tax to get a better fit in that building, a better use in that building, then I'm willing to do it. So those are my comments, and with that, I'll start off with Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to borrow your laser pointer here. I don't have any major concerns with what I see before me, but I do have some concerns that I'd like to address. One of them is the parking issue, and I will agree and readily admit that when you look at the gross number of parking spaces, we may well be overparked. But when you look at the way the parking is laid out and the intensity of use and the need for parking, what we see is an extremely popular Trader Joe's facility. The Cold Stone Creamery and the Baja Fresh restaurant here. So we have a lot of use of the parking area in here. With the restaurant being closed, people have spilled over and have used the parking adjacent to the restaurant for Trader Joe's. Once Chili's comes in, I think we're going to see this as being an extremely popular end of the center, and we're going to see some real challenges in terms of use of parking. The fact that the restaurant will encourage mainly evening use means that we can use may well be a reasonable accommodation. I have no great heartburn or problems with I-3 going down into this area. I was out there yesterday with the applicant looking at it, and there were around 5 o'clock, 5 to 6, there was a fair amount of traffic coming, and it was all people coming to the fitness center, parking at this end of the lot and using it. I don't think that's going to be a major problem for parking in that area. If I were to support the project as it came before us tonight, I would be very much insistent on waiting to see how things went with completion of I-1 before going forward with I-2, staying with the phased development concept to make sure that we would be able to accommodate the parking and that circulation in the area would work. I like the improvements that we're going to see in terms of the improvements to the roadway, to the entrance to Phase 1, Phase 2, to the slotted parking, slotted turn lanes, the timing on the lights. I think all of those, with the addition of the Arnold plan back here, will help to work circulation pretty effectively. But if I were to approve this tonight, I would be insisting on the phasing of this and taking a good hard look at some point in the future after we see what happens with I-1 before going forward with I-2. So perhaps, as I say, the mayor's suggestion that we look at that as office space is got some merit to it. Let me see. Also, if we go with A and we look at the adequacy of parking, and we're going to continue to look at retail use up here, I know it calls for looking at this on a Saturday between 5 and 7 or 3 and 7. I don't think that we just need to look at a Saturday. I think we need to look at something Monday through Friday, the 3 to 7 use in here also. So if we're going to look at parking use in there, I don't think that Saturday is the exclusive peak time we have to look at. We also have to look at Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, something, the 3 to 7 time, and see what kind of impact we have with that also. I do like the concept that you've lowered the light poles in that southeast. Get in there. I don't think people are going to be trying to approach the center on foot and wheelchairs from that direction. So I can dispense with the pedestrian access way back there. I think that essentially those are my concerns, and I go back to looking at the conditions of approval and the findings for the conditional use permit 1 through 5. The mayor has mentioned points 1, 2, 3, and 5 that he has problems with. If we were to adopt this in its entirety tonight with buildings 1-1 and I-1 and I-2 as retail space, I would have the same problems. I wouldn't be able to do that. I could accept it in a phased array with finding for the conditional use permit, but with some real serious reservations that come completion of I-1 and looking at the study that we're going to be able to make the findings for conditional use permits for building I-2 late at some future time. So that would be in doubt. That would be something that would be up in the air through the future, and we'd have to see what happened. It might or might not come to pass. So I can support it tonight if we stick to accepting A and are very clear on condition 7 that this will be a phased approach, and we'll look very carefully at the conditions later on. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Fellows.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Kelly, could you put this image up on the screen, please? Yes, thanks. First thing I want to say is that I like the design, the new design layout pretty much. I think this alley of trees leading up to this building I-1 is a good idea. I think the tenant's going to love it. I like the fact that you at least appear to be designing this with some real honest-to-goodness trees instead of just xerophytic bushes trained in the trees. The traffic mitigations, I had hoped for something more dramatic than what you got, but I understand what I was thinking of probably would cost millions. And I think the traffic mitigations that are proposed seem to, I hadn't heard those until just a few minutes ago, but I would agree that we should do away with the truck loading ramp. And I have an idea I'll mention in a minute what can be done there to make to green up this project a little bit. As far as traffic mitigations, I didn't know it was Ed Arnold's new approach on Camino Mercado, but I think that's a great idea. I thought that the mayor had mentioned there would be a directional sign leading over there. I know after a short while, the folks that go there from the community to shop will know where that is and they'll use it, but perhaps there needs to be a directional sign there on the corner of Camino Mercado and Rancho Parkway, directing other folks down in that direction so it'll be as effective as possible to start with. Those new medians on Rancho Parkway should contain landscaping to include trees. It's been shown, I think, pretty conclusively that landscaping in medians slow traffic and landscaping in medians slow it even further, and we do need some traffic calming along there. The lighted signs should be on timers. Maybe I misunderstood that there was some discussion regarding Trader Joe's lights being lighted all night long or signs being lighted all night long. If there was a discussion in the past regarding that and the applicant did agree to cause those lights to be turned off in the evening, I think that should be followed through. I think the redesign, as I said earlier, as a result of the Architecture Review Committee, the Planning Commission, the City Council, and staff working with the applicant is a pretty good one now, except for maybe some changes to Building I-2. And this may be redundant for me to mention it, but I will anyway, because sometimes conditions of approval seem to disappear or not be followed through with. The Architecture Review Committee conditions, page 9 of tonight's staff report, must be conditions of approval. The fact that the signage has been decreased makes the plan a better plan than it was. It still serves the customers, which we have to do, of course, but hopefully it will not be contributing to what some people call sign pollution. I think we're okay with the signs the way they are. I'm not real crazy about the two lighted globes on top. Maybe those could be eliminated if my colleagues agree, the two globes, rather. Now, about Public Works Special Condition number 48 on page 8, it's erroneously listed as page 10 on the applicant's response to city staff. This portion that you see up on the screen, the storm drains run along the front of building I-1 and then along the front of the existing buildings where the Baja Fresh is and so on. And then they eventually end up in the creek by traversing various parts of the city, and I think we should do more than just have fossil filters, which I'll get to that in a second. Well, I'm to it. If my colleagues on the council see fit to go along with the mayor's comments regarding building I-2, and I'm inclined to do that, that truck ramp could be eliminated. And what I'd like to see, and I don't know if we have something that showed, do you have an image that shows where the storm drop inlets are on the project? You don't have that? Okay. Well, can you then enlarge the building I-2 plan?
Chuck, we can probably, if you have it on that diagram, okay, we can put that up there.
Thank you.
It's too bad that years ago no one was thinking about bioswales and filtering, using biology to filter water that runs off of parking lots. Water that runs off parking lots is full of various contaminants and pollutants such as antifreeze and oil, engine oil, and other things. And I think this, especially if there's some slight reconfiguring to building I-2, that this is a great opportunity to put bioswales. And, you know, that sounds pretty fancy, but really I'm just talking about sort of an inverted parkway that holds water and holds plants that would use the water and thrive in if the areas were flooded or if they weren't. And so what we have here is Via Vaquero, Rancho Parkway, two inverts or drop inlets drains in the back here that connect through this proposed storm drain this way and then down eventually to the creek, and then also this truck ramp with a drop inlet and storm drain leading away, and another one here and another one here. And I would certainly like to see my colleagues consider where water would flood out of a bioswale, so that when you have a heavy rain event, it would drain down into these inlets. Otherwise, it would just eventually perk or be transpired by the plants or used up by the plants. So I'd like to see those worked into the new plan if my colleagues see fit. And I think it would be something that should have been done a long time ago. It's time to do it here, and it would serve as certainly a good example for the future. And finally, as I mentioned to Carol out at the site, I have a real problem with folks having to get out of their vehicles and walk with traffic into a building. And if there's going to be some reconfiguration of this building and reconfiguration, therefore, of the parking plan and so on, I would like to see a better pedestrian safety for the folks getting out of their cars with a walkway, someone in, it's like so. So you don't have to walk behind cars that are backing up. And those are my comments for now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Guthrie.
Well, first I have a question for Tim, and that relates to the memorandum, I guess, from OASIS here regarding condition number 7, which we've been around this a few times. Currently in building, let's leave I-2 out of it for a minute, but the way it's proposed here in building I-1 and J and I-3, we would have discretion over whether that was retail, basically what the use was, unless it was retail. I mean, for instance, it couldn't be a restaurant, it couldn't be a bank as it's currently worded, or at least that's my understanding. That's why there isn't a bank.
That's correct.
Okay. I just wanted to verify. So if we leave it the way it is, then that's the way it'll continue.
Okay. Well, the whole use issue is a little clouded.
Your mic isn't on.
Is that what it is? All right. Just take Steve's. Yeah.
Can you
hear me now?
Nope.
No, man. Steve's gone silent.
Look like you're getting ready for a press conference, Tim.
I can't recall.
Is absolutely without your approval, they can't go in.
Okay. The second question I have, so then when we had the approval where we approved a bank and a portion of Building J, if they did the road improvements first, are we vacating that particular approval tonight with our action?
Well, that's an interesting question. No, there is actually an approval of the bank and Building J, subject to all the traffic improvements going into place, and nothing that's in this particular packet this evening would modify that. So
okay, that's an important clarification. Okay. I guess I'll start with the pedestrian issue. I actually think this would actually be a very useful pedestrian access off of Via Vaquero. Lighting might be something of an issue. It's certainly not insurmountable, but the ADA issue is. I'm a little surprised, but you know, ADA is one of those evolving laws, I guess, that in fact there wasn't some ADA requirement in the beginning. It seems like every time you walk near a building or change a window, you have to put in ADA. But apparently you didn't have to here, because if we did have ADA access from the street to the facility somewhere else, I actually don't think that just because we built another access that we would actually have to make it ADA accessible as well. But since there's no other ADA access, I'll have to let go of that, because I actually think that would be very useful. I will suggest one other pedestrian improvement. Can you put up the site plan, and I'll try with one of these pointers, but I'm not good with these things. And that has the way that this is the primary ADA connect, or not ADA, but pedestrian connection between the A.G. Edwards parking lot and the rest of the system. I realize the pedestrian plan actually is more complete than this, but I'm going to suggest to you that once the restaurant opens, that actually this will be the primary used parking lot, and you're going to have people flooding across this point here without any direction at all. And you're going to be much better off if you channel them somewhere, if you give them some sort of a crosswalk somewhere here that will take them out of this parking lot without getting into this entry and without getting into Trader Joe's entry and allow them to come across here. The way the pedestrian plan shows, it actually shows them going back and crossing over at this point somewhere, and they're just not going to walk backwards to go forwards. They're actually going to come. They're going to cross this road wherever they can, this driveway wherever they can, and will, if they don't have any channelization, will be studies and plenty of disagreement on them. And I'm going to suggest to you that I'm optimistic that they will work, that we'll be at least equal or better than we were when we were when Vignano's was open, when these other uses are in place. It really depends partly on how successful it is. I do have some concerns about what happens when we disperse this traffic and where it goes, and just as we have how difficult that metrics might be. What if this traffic's all fine, but we've actually just moved it all down to down by the movie theater, and all of a sudden that driveway is a problem? It's not included in our real study. We're saying that this intersection needs to be LOS too, but actually we just moved it somewhere else, and now we're going to have a big disagreement about what the responsibility was. So I actually think that using the office designation because of the significantly reduced traffic generation is a good idea. But I personally hope that the traffic mitigation works and you'll come back and ask for retail. But I think that's a good way to go in order to get us through, one, to get us through tonight, but also to solve what I think is going to be a problem later on in trying to decide whether the traffic mitigations work. So I think that's probably a good way to go forward tonight. But like I say, I hope it's retail in the long run. I do agree, though, that the truck ramp has some issues, although I don't think you could put a loading ramp anywhere that would have less noise impact than where that one is. As to the just opening up the uses in, I'm going to say Building J, I-1, and I-3, I'm not quite ready to just open it wide open. I certainly supported doing the bank before. I've supported it the very first time it comes forward. I'm in support of at least some portion of this could be a bank, but I'd actually like to designate it right here what the square footage potential is. I would hate to see it all turn into bank. I'm granted that's not realistically going to happen, but what if half of it did? The traffic generation could be huge. So I'd like to set some number, and I'm going to pick kind of a number kind of out of my hat here, that 6,000 square feet of Building J, I-1, and I-3 could in fact be financial institution, could be, some one of these other uses. I'm non-retail, non-sales tax generating uses that I could support some number there that we would see some other kind of a tenant. But I don't want to see just a wide open deal where, what if none of these, independent of the traffic generation, ended up being sales tax generated completely. I think times have changed as far as the expectations of what is almost like a legally non-conforming situation. The expectation about how we deal with stormwater everywhere has gone up significantly, and I don't think it's unreasonable of us to expect that when you almost double the size of phase two, that in fact we would require you to sort of bring the rest of it up to code. I'm probably not using the right language, but I am support of 48, or at the very least revising it to requiring the fossil filters. So I guess that's it. I could support this tonight with the change to office. I think that's a good way to go. I hope that the applicants are open to that. But like I said, I would hope that if the opportunity is there for us to for it to be retail in the long run, that's the direction we would go. I could support revising condition 7 as long as we limited the total square footage that we were going to commit to be non-retail or sales tax generating. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, quick question following up on that. When we're talking about special condition 7, are you talking about changing it for building I-2 only? Because the way it reads, buildings I-1, I-3, and J are still...
I want to include J, since we already have an approval there, that in fact the total square footage of this shopping center going forward would be some number. We may want to expand or retract that number, but I think I don't want building J to be a bank, and you know, I want the total square footage that we're willing to allow to be non-retail to be set tonight in building J, I-2, and I-3. And of course, we're talking about I-2 being office, which of course wouldn't be a financial institution allowed.
Let me check in here with the applicant before we get to the Mayor Pro Tem on this issue, before we lose sight of it. Would you be in a position this evening to perhaps designate a location that you have in mind for a financial institution? Potentially.
We would like to resolve the square footage issue.
Okay.
It's hard to tell exactly where they're going to go, but we'd like to talk about that.
Okay. Do you want to do that now?
If I could just clarify that, Carol Florence, again. We've got 28,000.
Further in terms of if you're looking at a bank, is there a particular location that you're focusing on more than others right now?
I don't know if we could answer that this evening, Mayor.
Yeah,
can we?
The southern side of I-1 towards building J.
The southern side of I-1 toward building J. I see.
Okay. The only reason why I ask is I thought there was some discussion potentially of using I-3 as a location. Is that no longer being discussed?
Maybe. Yes.
Yes, it's no longer.
It's no longer being discussed. They would like to be, they prefer to be in this section of the center.
I see. Okay. Sorry for the interruption, but I wanted to get that clarified.
Yeah, the reason I was picking square footage was to leave exactly the flexibility that depending on where the tenant, as opposed to designating the building. Granted, it could be a problem because all of the trip generation would end up on one side if all the banks wanted to go head-to-head, side-by-side, but that's unlikely to be the situation. But I just wanted to give them some flexibility, but not a wide-open door.
Okay. Last but certainly not least, Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, I know what it's like to be you now because I got to listen to everybody tonight, and really I was really kind of pushing more towards retail even after your passionate plea on I-2. And I think Councilman Guthrie makes a very valid point that if we do designate I-2 as office only, we have the ability to come back later if things work out well from a parking standpoint to allow some retail in there. So I think that's probably a real valid way to go about it, with the thought that the applicant gets some closure as far as they know they can go ahead and lease this out as office if they would like, or if they choose to build the building and do a wait and see and then says and come back. But we're not leaving it up to everyone else except for ourselves to make the decision that retail could work. I'm always a little wary. I agree with traffic studies scare us, and no offense to you, but as you know, and you've been here many times, we don't necessarily agree. So I guess that's where I'm at. I'm a little confused on how we might actually get to an approval tonight, considering the mayor's comments of one notes I would actually not like to see a bank probably in I-3. I think it could be probably a problem with the parking down there. The gym has been very successful. I was disappointed to see that Marshall's was, in, I guess, asserting their clause in the parking issue that the building could not be closer to them, because I think it actually would have been more beneficial to everyone. Unfortunately, from what Carol has told us, that is not an option. So I don't have a problem with I-3, but I would like to see that remain retail. Just going down as I've written things down, not necessarily important. On the sign issue with the monument signs, I don't have a problem with the one being down at the bottom of the hill, since we're talking a smaller sign than we were initially down at Branch and Rancho Parkway. I also agree with Councilman Fellows that the balls in the top of the sign up higher are not attractive. So if we could make that a smaller version of what's down at the bottom of the hill, I could be fine with that sign as well. I do think the key to some of this traffic measures working are actually having people know where they're going. And since this is a regional center, for good and for bad, the more we can tell people where they should be going, I think the more effective. I'm not looking for big billboards. I mean, that's definitely not the case here at all. But I do think a little bit of directional signage would be beneficial. One of the concerns that I have, and I guess I'm not going to make a condition tonight, but I guess if I were to look at converting I-2 from office to retail, it might be where I'd be looking for the condition, is I am concerned about the turn lane that I had asked Public Works to bring up with the right turn off of West Branch onto Rancho Parkway. And the reason being is I've actually, since we've been talking about all these traffic measures, I've actually tried to live them. And that means, and for me, that's not a natural to come up Rancho Parkway or up West Branch Street and make a right turn. I live in a different location, but whenever I have come from that location, I've gotten in the right-hand lane, which is a through lane and also a turn lane right now. And the problem that you run into is some cars turn, some don't. If you want to bet that they're all going to turn and you stay in the left lane, you go straight through when the light changes, and if a bunch of cars go straight, it's very difficult, especially to turn into the movie theater, and you find yourself getting pushed down farther. If you get in the right lane, assuming that everybody's going straight, and most of the cars turn, you may not make the light. So can those things be potential? I'm not sure what the appropriate number is, because one of the things, Carol, you talk about with the square footage numbers is you're actually including I-2 in those numbers when you talk about the 39,000. If we actually are backing that out of the number and you're asking for 10, it's a little bit different. So I'm not sure. I'm looking for 10,000 total in banking. I'm not sure I'm opposed to it as well. But I would guess I still like the idea of it coming back to us. I've yet to see an example where we haven't been willing to give the condition if it makes sense. So my preference would just be to leave condition number 7 alone and leave the discretion with us. And for the reasons, if we want to start getting really into the nickel and diamond of saying, well, I-3 shouldn't have it because maybe there could be a logical reason that maybe it could have it. But and so I think either way we go, you may very well end up coming back. And I hate to say 6,000 square feet and then you have to come back for 6,500. Or if we say 10 and now we got a building at 6, now there's 4,000 more floating around. So I just haven't seen an example where we've actually said no when it comes to the use. And so as long as the use makes sense, we've been more concerned with the traffic issue. And since we seem to be, I believe we all truly believe there's been a lot of thought gone into the traffic plan and that it'll be resolved. So I can support the project if the mayor can come up with a way to be comfortable with I-2 tonight. I can support moving forward with the entire project with the conditions that we've discussed already. If not, I could be in support of tentatively approving I-2 with the use and with the revision of the building condition it going back to ARC, however everyone's comfortable with. But I'm definitely in favor of trying to move this forward tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Any additional comments?
There were a number of things, Mayor and Council members, that you mentioned. Maybe for clarification from this side, I could just go through those. it may be appropriate, and if you wouldn't mind looking at this, maybe we should take Condition 7, and we were willing to comply with it as is, but also combining, if you will, the alternative that you see at the top of page 8, which gives us an opportunity if today we want to decide it's office, that's what we do. If we want to wait and go, says that if you add it to the other one. If we decide that we don't really have an interest in office in I-2, then we will build out I-3, occupy it, occupy J, do the analysis, and come back to you and let you know what that is.
Okay, I think we got it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just a combination of the two alternatives for Condition 7, and we're willing to abide by both of those. Just a couple of comments, Mayor, to the loading dock issue. I think that we would certainly be amenable to elimination of that if, in fact, it were office. Makes sense to us. And I also think the height issue on that particular building, I-2, if you were to refer that back to staff and the ARC, we could certainly work with them. We've worked with them well in the past, and I'd be comfortable with that. I think the condition 7 that talks about Saturday and looking at the traffic, we're more than happy to add the Saturday, but also look at it either on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Typically, if you will, from an traffic engineering standpoint, you look at it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But we're willing to look at it on Saturday and either Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday as well, if that's satisfactory to you. If my suggestion to eliminate the condition regarding storm drainage, I completely appreciate Councilmember Fellows where you're trying to take us. And if we leave that in, I just hope that we have the flexibility to design that, because given your concept, we would have water going uphill to do that. But if we leave the condition as is, then I would leave it up to our civil engineer and our landscape architect to work on that. And I think we can live with no light globes on the sign. And we appreciate the fact that you will allow us to have that monument sign on Branch and Rancho Grande for the sole purpose of identification, allowing people to understand what now is going to be in phase two. And I think that concludes. Can we go back to looking at that service retail as one of the uses? Kind of personal service, I think, is what we're looking at.
I think the issue here is non-taxable use.
So would that cover then those development code
sales tax? And that's one of the things that I was going to see if we could reach some sort of accommodation here.
Thank you.
But would be 8,000 square feet. I mean, kind of splitting the difference between what you guys are talking about. But now we're talking about, this is taking Ed's thoughts into consideration, but now we're talking about all of the bank potential is on phase two, and you'd have to come back and ask for if you want to use I-3 as a bank. That's, you know, I'm just trying to find some consensus here.
Would you be willing to say we'll have one bank and it would be larger than 5,000 feet?
Well, and would it be one non-sales tax producing entity and it wouldn't be more than 5,000 square feet, which is different than just saying a bank?
Yes.
Okay, so really we're down to 5,000 square feet.
You said 8, but only 5 of it will be a bank or...
Okay, if we're going to have this dialogue, Ken, I'm going to have to ask you to come to the microphone so we can catch it on record.
All right.
No. Kenny Slott, CEO of Levon Investments, who owns the property. Mr. Mayor, City Council members. You said 8. There was a perception when I listened to the council that you think we're going to have multiple banks And there may be 8,000 or 10,000 feet of banks. That's not the case. What I'm saying is we will have one bank. It won't be larger than 5,000 feet. There are many other service retail uses that we would like to have and that the neighbors would like to have. We would like to have a dry cleaner. We would like to have some of these other, you know, typical uses that you'll see in a neighborhood center, which is what phase two is about. Phase one is the regional. Phase two is turning into a little bit more of the neighborhood. So, you know, you said 6, we said 10, you said 8. Okay, we're close. You know, I think.
So what you're talking about, though, is that it would be 8,000 non-sales tax producing.
Yes.
And
inclusive of the bank.
And maximum
and
5,000.
Including the bank, so yeah.
Including the bank and a 5,000 max.
Can we write a condition like that, Tim? Okay.
And does that include building I-2?
No, because building I-2.
This is just I-1, I-3, and J.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, actually, the way I proposed it was just I-1 and J.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine, because we're fine with retail and I-3.
Anything else?
No, we're just here to clarify.
Try a motion. And I'm sure it's going to be amended. But that's okay. We'll get there. And the motion that I'm going to attempt here is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande approving amended conditional use permit case number 06-003. And plan sign program case number 06-003 applied for by Investec Real Estate Companies located at 925 Rancho Parkway in the 1100 block of the West Branch Street, Five City Center, with the following conditions and stipulations. First of all, condition 48 remains with flexibility there, but the drainage needs to be addressed. The three monument signs are acceptable with no globes or in a design that is similar to what exists out there already. That non-taxable retail be limited to 8,000 square feet, inclusive of a potential financial institution, and that the 8,000 square feet be restricted to buildings J or I-1, and that building I-2 be pre-designated as office use, and that staff work with the applicant to determine if there is a softer design that we can come up with, perhaps a more horizontal look to that building, and the loading dock configuration will be removed. Okay, what else do we need?
Could we also have it, after staff works with the applicant, that it goes back to the ARC for approval?
Yes. Anything else?
Yeah, condition 7, altering condition 7. That in buildings I-1 and J, that the total square footage that would be non-retail in those would be no more than, that would be non-sales tax producing would be no more than 8,000 square feet, and of that 8,000 square feet, no more than 5,000 will be a bank.
Okay, I think I got the front end of that in the motion.
The lighting only pertains to the new buildings because I don't, or any of the new tenants, because I don't think we can retroactivate that to existing tenants. And then I guess the section on the deleting of the planners, which they say they've already made that change. And then clarifying the hours of operations. I think there was also confusion on that because it was two different times.
Okay. Kelly, did you follow along with the clarifications that we need to make on the sheet that we got from Five City Center? Okay. So, based on the Mayor Pro Tem's statements, we'll include that in the motion.
I was going to say that with regard to the, what was that, the the condition that deals with the conflict of the hours of operation?
54. Strike the word noise.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify that the reason why this has come up before with Planning Commission, the Public Works Department puts this in there, number 54, just strictly for inspection purposes. It has nothing to do with, when they're actually doing construction. The noise mitigation is the mitigation measure 8.1 that limits, you know, for CEQA purposes, limits construction hours. So if we struck noise and in that condition, and it just then would read for inspection purposes, period, then I think it would make it clear.
Is that how you see it concur, Tim?
I don't know if that's acceptable to the applicant, because there's a lot more to the condition than that. If it's a stock condition and it's only interpreted for inspection purposes, I'm sure that's satisfactory. But there's a lot more words in there. It goes on to say the developer or contractor should refrain from performing any work other than site maintenance outside of these hours unless an emergency arises or approved by the public works director. And it goes on and on. But I don't know if striking those words will make the condition acceptable. There's still a potential conflict.
Okay, we want to make sure we get this right. So, Carol, can you...
About Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Was that the issue for you?
Yes.
The confused language, yes. The conflicting language.
Mm-hmm. So okay. If I understand what Tim is getting at, basically 54 should refer just to when inspections by the city will take place. So if we modify 54 to basically say that the city will only perform inspections during the hours of Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, and we strike all the rest of it, and then we leave 8.1 alone, it covers the issues.
Construction hours.
Yes.
All right.
I agree with that.
Just leave the first sentence of 54 and strike the words noise and I think you're fine.
All right.
Quick question then. When we have clause 54 in there in most of these conditions, this is limiting construction to Monday through Friday. Are we now saying construction can occur from Monday through Saturday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what the mitigation measure says.
So if we're going to say the mitigation measure holds, then we're now saying construction can go Monday through Saturday. Is that our intent?
Well, which is typical,
yeah.
Which occurs.
Okay, as long as we're clear.
Yeah. All right. With that revised language, are you okay with it? If so, we'll include it in the motion.
Yes.
The modifications.
We're fine with that. Thank you for that clarification. Since I am standing here, could I just ask a question about your motion?
Mm-hmm.
Because we were willing to accept Condition 7 as is without designating I-2 as office today. I think that was the whole point of 7, that we were willing to wait and see and come back to you. So I don't think we have an interest today to specifically designate I-2 office.
Well, I understand that. But I can tell you right now that if this comes back as retail, speaking for myself, if this comes back as retail with a loading dock in the configuration that you have it in right now, or any loading dock, that's not something I can support.
We can eliminate today the loading dock if that's acceptable to you. I just think the use itself, I think I concur with Council Member Guthrie that we're all hoping that the traffic mitigation measures work, that the parking is adequate, and that we're going to be coming back to you with a sales tax generator for I-2. But if the loading dock is a concern, we can certainly eliminate that today.
Okay. Well,
stability enough that if it turns out that having bioswales does not require having water run uphill, that it's still an option.
Uh, I don't think we really took the time to discuss the bioswale issue, and we might as well do that now. How do the rest of you feel about?
I guess my feeling is that I'd like to leave that to Public Works to decide what's the best way of accomplishing that. I mean, the comment that we're asking it to flow uphill may or may not be true, but in fact, we're not in a position to go that deep in the design unless we're going to continue this. And I personally would rather we didn't continue this. And while bioswale may very well be a great way of accomplishing that there, given some of the other considerations of the site, particularly the slope away from the site that ultimately, once this water leaves, it's going to leave in a hurry, that I'm not sure that's the best way to go. And also given our new creek study and all of the things that we are looking at, I think I personally would trust staff to come up with the best solution here.
As long as there's flexibility for them to consider the bioswale, I'm fine with that, as long as it's not eliminated.
Okay, as long as the way that I read that is that staff would approve whatever plan is required, so staff could approve a bioswale. I guess they may not be inclined to, is maybe where you're going.
We'll see.
Perhaps during that process, Councilmember Fellows, you could work with Don.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
And move that along. But I think where we are right now is that there are options, and it's going to be dependent upon what is presented and what works up there.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, can I have a question? And I guess this is of staff. If we approve this tonight the way it is with the designation that this is going to be office for number two, the applicant isn't under any obligation to build I-2. If we approve all these buildings, and can they pick to build I-1 and I-3 and wait on I-2?
Under either option on the condition, they can come back to the council to I think what you're getting at is under the motion, they could come back and request a change to retail from the council before they build.
And that's what I'm kind of getting at, I think, to maybe help you guys out a little bit. If I understand, I wouldn't be comfortable accepting this if we were to say it was just going to be on these three metrics that we were going to measure, and then we would have no say whether or not it would become retail again. So I guess that's – I understand what you're wanting. You're wanting almost more of a definitive. If we measure X, Y, and Z, you're going to get retail. And I'm not sure I'm comfortable measuring X, Y, and Z since we disagree a lot of times on what those measurements mean.
Well, I think that we felt that special condition number 7, as written, really put us through some tests to determine that, and that, if you will, the worst-case scenario, not only for us, but I think for the city as well, that I-2 would become office. And we were willing to fully occupy I-1 and J, fully occupied, take another look at it and come back to you with a report and make the determination at that point, knowing that the fallback position, if you will, would be office. I just think we're looking for that opportunity to do that without calling it today, because I have faith in the fact that the traffic mitigation measures will work. I also have faith in the fact that we will have adequate parking. And I have faith in my clients who will find tenants, knowing full well what our issues are, that will make phase two a fully functional portion of the project.
Okay, thanks.
Please, thank you.
If we look at the language on the top of page 8 of the staff report, subject to compliance with, and this follows with the alternative. Looks look at the bottom, down at the bottom of page 7. Alternatively, the council may consider authorizing concurrent construction of buildings I-1 and 2 with a predetermination that the allowable use of I-2 will be restricted to office only. This alternative is chosen. The proposed condition number 7 should be modified as follows, and then the language is at the top of 8, subject to compliance with all conditions of approval and mitigation measures. All three proposed new buildings, I-1, I-2, and I-3, may be constructed and occupied. Buildings I-1 and 3 shall be used for retail commercial. With the second, any further discussion? Roll call. Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Arnold?
No.
Okay. Thank you. I think we're there.
Short break.
I just thought this would be a board.
Please.
I could have given this.
Mr. Mayor. Mayor Ferrara.
I asked him.
You already did. Okay.
Well, we're done with this. Let's take a short break.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to take a 5-minute break. Okay, council is back in session. We're still on our public hearings, and we are at 9C, consideration of the certification and related findings for the final environmental impact report for Newsom Springs Regional Drainage. Good evening, Teresa.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. Tonight we're here to consider the final EIR. We were here last May before you with the draft EIR and took a public comment at that time. The final EIR includes responses to comments, and here with me tonight is David Foote from Firma, and he'll review the steps of the EIR and continue the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. So we're going to go through the PowerPoint presentation for the benefit of the public and those watching. It's basically the same presentation last time, giving you an overview of the project and the types of impacts and measures. Study area was defined by the city within this yellow boundary shown on the exhibit. The proposed improvements would occur in various places in that zone. Next. This is the schematic or a concept of the various alternatives and phases. Beginning at the left-hand side of the page, numbers 1, 2, and 3 along Branch Mill and at going through the Cherry Creek project are considered phase 1. The next phase would be the green line along the bottom of the map, which is, and those comprise all of the different pieces. And some of them are optional, some of them are tentative, but we looked at the whole package as well as the alternatives. The topics we looked at were agriculture, begin with agriculture, and most of the potential impacts on agricultural lands are short-term or they can be mitigated fairly readily. The proposed stormwater detention basin, however, would be a significant unavoidable impact on agricultural lands because it's prime land, and that would be both potential sites, or suggested sites, unless they're relocated. Impacts related to flooding and sedimentation, obviously one of the goals of the project is to improve the flood situation and reduce sediment flowing into the creek, and so there are beneficial effects. There could be some limited impacts during construction, which can be mitigated, obviously. The water quality during construction needs to be handled. The project's cumulative impact on downstream flooding is also less than significant or can be mitigated. It was determined that the project outfall location, as depicted in the project description, would be ahead of the peak coming down in the big storms from the watershed upstream in Lopez Dam, and that if the water just heads on out or is managed carefully with a series of sediment basins or one sediment basin, there wouldn't be a significant impact on the downstream flood levels because the water would be moving through there before the big surge. Next. Biological resources, the primary impact here is related to the intrusion over the creek bank for the outfalls. We also looked at the effects of rerouting the water from its historic, at least a low flow path where it floods behind the homes there to the west. No biological impacts that couldn't be mitigated were identified, and obviously the phase one improvements would involve some state and federal permits for the work over the creek bank. Cultural resources, almost the entire study area was granted permission to access, and it was surveyed. There are a couple of stone culverts, as you're very well aware, that are very likely to have some historical significance. If they are going to be modified or removed in the future as part of a subsequent phase, instead of flowing on a route along Branch Mill Road, would traverse the ag land in a more direct route to the creek. And basically, the route that heads more or less straight north in a straight line, that would be Route 10, those had some problems in terms of the fall of the land, limiting the depth of cover, limiting the pipe gradient, and coming down into the creek at possibly too low of a level for a good outfall situation. So while it may be feasible, we identified them as less superior than the option of putting a pipe along Branch Mill Road or using the alternative 11, which crosses the Dixon Ranch at a diagonal. And I should clarify that as we looked at this closer and talked more with the NRCS folks, we realized that the best alignment for that diagonal would be heading more towards the corner of Cherry Lane and Branch Mill, where the phase one improvements are proposed. So that pipe would be a little longer and run more in a westerly direction, and then it could outfall into the phase one a catchment area, pass under the realigned Cherry Avenue, and then through the bioswale to the outfall. That particular alternative appears, for one thing, it appears superior to the other ones and probably equal to the proposed project, and may have some benefits actually over the proposed project. And one of those would be the ability to capture a runoff within the farmland and connect drains to this city storm drain that would further improve the situation during any storm on the farmland, increasing the number of days it can be worked and so forth. So it has some definite positives. There is not enough hard data and design at this point to fully say how big the pipe would need to be, how deep it would be, whether it need to be a couple of pipes in order to get adequate cover over it, but it appears feasible. Process, as Teresa mentioned, the draft review period ended in June, and we've now prepared the response to comments volume, which with the draft comprises the final EIR. And we are here tonight to hear from the public and for you to make a decision on certifying the final EIR as adequate under CEQA. Everything that they had hoped it would, it compares favorably with the concept of picking up the water at the mouth of Newsom Canyon with a pipe diagonally across the Dixon Ranch and then extending through the phase one improvements that would have the same kind of bioswale kind of characteristics and then a low velocity outfall. So basically what that project shows is that you can substantially improve the stormwater flood levels, you can improve the farming conditions with a project like that and also reduce the sediment loading with a project like this. Again, I want to emphasize that this project was designed for a far smaller storm. Your objective that you set was to accommodate a 100-year storm, and that's the kind of event that we've analyzed in the EIR. So with that, I take questions on the document you have. Oh, I should mention, I'm sorry, just briefly, the final EIR includes comment letters from the public and agencies. We received 12, and they're included in that document with the responses.
Okay. Questions for Teresa or David? Councilmember Fellows.
I have a couple. Teresa or David, could we go back to the image impacts on ag resources, please? Very good. The second bullet, the proposed basin, if not relocated, is a significant unavoidable impact on ag. I want to refer you to the letter from the Martins attorney, which is page 2 of, it's actually on the responses to comments, page 71 at the top, alternatives, letter 4. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. He stated that the EIR fails to consider a series of berms that could be installed in the canyon between parcels A and B. I assume from that, I'd like you to correct me if I'm wrong, that instead of having a basin, if one really is needed for this project, on the top, on the either side of Branch Mill Road, it may be located with cooperation.
Get too specific, but we realize the further you go, the less watershed you're capturing. But I think that parallels pretty much what we were anticipating. If you should decide to want to retain the idea of a basin, it could happen anywhere from that point that they've specified up the canyon, maybe on someone else's property. What I don't know at this point is whether or not the point that they mentioned between parcels A and B is prime ag land or not.
I think it's not, but that would, I just wanted to mention.
Yeah, it's possible.
Bring that to the fore. And the only other question I have at this time is regarding the Ikeda project. My first thought was, well, heck, it went in recently. We've had a very dry year. How can you base the argument that it demonstrates that that sort of project, could help solve our flood control problem? Teresa mentioned to me that, well, there has been some amount of rain and it functioned well. Is that your experience?
That's what we understood. I don't think any of us observed it functioning, but according to Mark and the landowner, they were very happy with what they saw, and the conveyances worked the way they anticipated them to work, and they were somewhat innovative. And I think one of the key things for the Ikedas, of course, was to be able to tie in drains on the farmland.
Right.
So it had a variety of goals.
Now we're not considering a weir like the Ikeda project includes, are we?
No, that's just one way to solve the problem. The phase one improvements are not a weir per se, but they achieve the same reduction in velocity and spread it out.
All right, thanks. That's all, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. This is a public hearing. Before I open it up for public comment, I want to make this clarification to the audience. And that's just to restate the purpose of this final EIR, just so you understand that, as it states here in the document, the purposes of the EIR are to serve as an informational document which examines the likely environmental impacts of this project. It identifies those environmental impacts that could potentially significant if the project is approved. To develop mitigation measures to reduce significant impacts to the extent feasible, to identify feasible alternatives to the project, to provide a means for citizens to participate in the decision-making process. But more importantly, on the next page it says, so with that, I'll open it up to our public hearing on 9C. If there are members of the audience who would like to come forward and comment, this would be an opportunity. Please be mindful of the 3-minute rule.
Hello, my name is Damien Mavis, and I am one of the developers of the Cherry Creek project, which will implement a portion of the proposed drainage project. And I certainly read over the EIR and urge you to certify it tonight. It's as far as where we fit into this whole picture. If the EIR is certified and a project comes forward, we're very close to having agency permits, Army Corps of Engineers, Department of Fish and Game, for our particular portion of the project. And with those permits, we're only allowed to construct the outfall structure in the dry season. And the dry season's almost over, looking at the end of September. So that's really our critical path, is to, if the EIR is certified and our project goes forward, is to really get in there very quickly and construct at least the outfall portion of our project. We've been working with the city as well as city consultants to basically fast-track that portion of our larger project permit. And everybody's been very cooperative. So I'd just like to just bring you guys up to date that, you know, we're on kind of a time crunch. And if it slips, if this dry season slips and we're not able to do the work in the creek, we may have to wait up to 8 months to do the work. And that's going to be a bit of an issue on our end. So what I'd like to do is, if, you know, if there's any questions or issues, to kind of get them satisfied and answered the quickest way possible, and hopefully we can all move forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else would like to come forward?
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, my name is Neil. One of the properties that would be significantly affected by this project, which is the Dixon Ranch. We're pleased to see the attention that has been given to this challenging and somewhat problematic watershed. Hopefully, the project that's been outlined for you tonight will take a big step in solving the persistent flooding problems that have occurred in this area of the city and adjacent unincorporated areas. We're very pleased to see the effort that was placed in the EIR to avoid or mitigate potential impacts to the Dixon Ranch as called for in the mitigation section of the EIR. And for that reason, and the other reasons stated above, we support certification of this EIR and the commitments that it represents. And we look forward to continuing to work with the city to effect the best possible solution to the Newsom Springs flooding problems and the coincident protection of the prime farmland that exists nearby. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Neil. Anyone else would like to come forward?
Good evening. My name is Ann Bachman, and we have property on Branch Mill Road. Our parcel is not listed on the EIR, but we would be, my concern is the detention basin. Our property, the first choice would be right across the street from us. The second alternative would be beside us. And I realize and I have to agree that there's a lot of problems with that detention basin being in that location. I guess my question would be, can the project go ahead without a detention basin? There's talk about having maybe another one upstream. I'm not quite sure where that location would be, but can the project go ahead without a detention basin?
Okay. Did you want to address that, or could we address that very quickly?
Yes. The question, does the project have to have a retention basin? The way the data and my understanding is coming together, that it's not an essential part to achieve most of your objectives. The primary thing it would do would be to desilt runoff from the canyon. It wouldn't have any effect on silt that's being accrued across the face to manage that downstream in the bioswale and the catchment area.
Okay, thank you. Does that answer your question? Anyone else who would like to come forward? Going once, going twice. Okay, we'll close the public hearing portion of 9C and bring this back to the council. We'll start with, let's see, Councilmember Costello. You can go first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be fairly brief. I think that the impact's been studied thoroughly. I did have some concerns myself about the potential locations of some of these detention or retention ponds. But we're not here to look at a project. We're here to look at the potential environmental impacts on it and to determine whether or not the environmental impact report has done an adequate job. And I believe that it has. It gives us enough information so we can make intelligent decisions. And I can support the document as it's brought for us tonight.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Fellows.
I can be just as brief. The EIR's purpose was to inform us so we can make decisions later on about the project. The project itself is very important to the community. We know the likely impacts. We know that the potentially significant ones have been identified. We know what the mitigation measures are. We've identified feasible alternatives. We've gotten citizen input. And the project has been determined by the preparer of the EIR to not result in significant unavoidable impacts. So I think it's a good one, and I'm prepared to support the final EIR.
Okay, thank you. Council Member Guthrie.
I too am prepared to support certifying the final EIR. I do think that it does spell out all the possibilities of what kinds of projects may take place here. I'll just add that the project that's already approved that was contingent upon the completion of this that will go forward is actually just the very lower portion of this, and the more difficult parts of this decision are still in front of us. So I can support the EIR as it's written. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
In the matter of being brief, I too can support this. I agree with all of my fellow members up here that this is serving the purpose that it was meant to do. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm just glad that we finally got everybody who needed to out to the Acada project to take a look at that. Because I think those of us who were out there in the first tour, we saw the merits. And so I think they're...
Find the final environmental impact report, 2, adopting the environmental findings, and 3, adopting a mitigation monitoring and reporting program.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Move to item 10. Let's see. We have no continued business items. So we'll move to 11, which is new business. 11A is consideration of the appointment of a voting delegate and alternate for the League of Cities annual conference. Okay, first of all, who's going to the annual conference?
Is that in Sacramento?
Yes.
I'm kind of sorry I asked you. And to say yes, I'm going scares me, but I'm going.
Okay, so Councilmember Guthrie, Mayor Pro Tem, Councilmember Fellows, are you going to make it?
I'm not.
Okay, I will be there, but I will be busy. So... let's see, who has, you were the voting delegate last time, right?
No, I was voting last year, you were the year before.
Year before, that's right.
Okay.
If Chuck doesn't know if he's going to be 100% sure, I don't mind doing it. I mean, I stay for the whole thing, so. But if Chuck wants to do it, then it's a good experience.
Is the voting on Friday or is the voting on Saturday?
It's on Saturday, the last day.
I will not be there Saturday, so. I couldn't do it.
All right. How about if we do we need a motion for this?
Yes.
Okay. I would move to have Councilmember Fellows as our voting delegate and Mayor Pro Tem as the alternate.
I'll second that.
Let me just find out. I don't seem to have that on my schedule. So what are the dates?
It's September 5th through the 8th.
Yeah, 5th through the 8th.
Yep, there it is. Okay.
All right. Are we okay with that? Motion a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Voice vote or roll call?
Voice vote.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. All right. That takes us to item 12, City Council Reports. I'll jump in there first with SLOCOG, and is occurring now is that we're going to be changing some of the routing on Route 10 to make it more regional and compensating to a degree, and using existing routes from SCAT because that's our local transit. And we also had several discussions regarding operational issues for the new facility, which is going to be shared, new maintenance facility and operations facility, which will be shared between the RTA and Ride-On. I've attended all of the County Sanitation District meetings, and this is a good time. I'll just do it now. I'm not going to go into it, but if you recall, I mentioned to Steve and Don about the issue of debris being put down our manholes and the concept of locking manholes. And Don came back with a memo. Public Works Director came back with a memorandum, and I don't think it quite hit on target. We weren't looking at locking down every manhole in the city, only those that were in problematic areas. And so what you have in front of you here is a memo back from John Wallace, who is our Executive Director of the Sanitation District, with a clarification in the memo and also some information on the kinds of manholes that we were talking about here. And I think if we take another look at this, Steve, it's not so cost prohibitive, and we can work out some kind of a partnership, I think, in terms of effort with the sanitation district. So rather than take this up during council communication, I'd just soon do it now and have you guys work with John.
Yeah, I looked at the information. It looks fine. So we'll come back to council okay. with a proposal for.
That concludes my report. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thanks, Mayor. Integrated Waste Management has started to implement a battery and fluorescent tube and light take-back policy. This was caused by the fact that the state has classified batteries and fluorescent tubes as a hazardous waste, so you're not supposed to throw them away anymore. So pretty much every store that you can buy a battery or a fluorescent tube in is required to take those back. So that is now in effect, so you should be able to take them back to your retailers. On the EBC right now, the wine study report, which has been in the press for a while now, the report itself is
moving at a glacial pace. We're getting some sort of agreement, though, with the federal regulating agencies to agree with the formula. So we're getting a step closer. So at some point before the end of the century, we perhaps will have one of these in place. Operations continue as normal with no extraordinary issues coming forward. In terms of the Air Pollution Control District, we haven't met for a couple months. We have a meeting tomorrow morning. I will be attending that. Some of the things of key interest, though, it's Pollution Prevention Week, P2 Week, coming up September 17th through the 23rd. The slogan is Be Green, Save Green. We've got on the agenda tomorrow is something to approve a partial funding, almost $38,000 of $141,000 to replace a pre-1987 diesel school bus for the Lucemar Unified School District, which I suspect will come forward, and we're going to be providing those funds from funds that are provided by the Assembly. Also, the budget is being finalized tomorrow for the upcoming year. It looks fairly normal at this point, nothing extraordinary about it. Fire Oversight Committee has met on a regular basis. I don't have my notes with me, but the cooperation between Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande and Oceano continues to move forward. We've had some agreements on ways to share purchase of equipment by standardizing equipment. That's moving forward quite nicely. Very pleased with it. And I don't think we've had a Fire Consolidation Oversight Committee meeting in the recent past, so that's my report.
Thank you. Councilmember Guthrie.
SCAT did not meet. JPI did have their annual
I guess I'll call it the big meeting where they elect their board of officers. I did not attend, but Karen Sisko did. She gave me a quick report. Same officers were reelected. They're in good financial shape, and our rates will be going down slightly.
That's a very brief but good news report. Councilmember Fellows.
The Youth Coalition did not meet. Anybody like to hear some more about quagga mussels tonight? No? Okay. I was able to attend.
After I adjourn the meeting, we can.
I was able to attend the Water Resources Advisory Committee meeting for about an hour before I left to come back here to attend our Historic Resources Committee.
Actually, with you, when we were up in San Jose discussing with the mayor of Ventura, they actually go dark during, I believe, the month of August, where they encourage all their council members and their staff to try to take the majority of their vacations. And it dawned on me that it might make sense for us to discuss it in the future. And I'm not suggesting August, I'm not suggesting any particular time, but it seems to me that there's critical meetings where somebody's absent, and I know it was the case where I was gone, where we actually couldn't get a quorum on the issue of the bikes because of Councilman Fellows having to step down. So my suggestion was if we could bring it back, maybe discuss possibly not having council meetings during 1 month of the summer, and we could try to all schedule our vacations around that.
Well, we can certainly bring it back and discuss it. Anybody opposed?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. It's a done deal. We'll go to 14, city manager items.
None this evening, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Council communications. Any council communications? Just want to note that several of us, myself included, will be headed to Monterey. I'm driving up this evening as soon as I go home and pack clothes. And we'll be up there for the League of Cities Executive Forum. And it should be very informative. And one of our keynote presentations will be given by our own Jim Bergman and Bob Lund, and one of the officials from America in Bloom. And we're going to be presenting that program to all of the conference attendees. And right now, I think we're close to 700. So that should be good. Any staff communications?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then we'll move to item 17, community comments and suggestions. Mr. Ross, anything tonight? All right, we'll move quickly through there, and we're on item 18 and motion to adjourn this meeting once again in memory of Bob Beam.
So moved.
All right, we are adjourned.
All right, I may well be there.